All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Let's pray. Father, it's good to be in your house again, and we're thankful, Lord, for those that have gathered together around your word. And Father, I confess I find myself totally inadequate to deliver this message. It's only you working through me, Lord. And I ask and pray that I set my flesh aside, set my tongue aside, set my thoughts aside, and that the Holy Spirit of God would move through this book and through the message, and not me. I pray you put a guard and watch over my mouth, lips, and tongue. And dear Father, may the words and the tone and the attitude of this message be from you and not from my flesh. Bless the word, we pray, Lord. Bless our hearts. Open our hearts to hear your word. And be doers of every word also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Title of the message is Little Foxes. Song of Solomon, take us the foxes. Take. That's an old term, as in catch the foxes. Grab them. Pin them up. Get them out of here before they damage things. What are the little foxes in a Christian's life? As Christians, we should be aware of our enemy of our soul, the devil, who the Bible refers to as a roaring lion, a dragon, a serpent. We should also be aware of Satan's ministers, who refer to themselves as ministers of righteousness, grievous wolves, and false teachers. So what are the little foxes? In the Bible, foxes generally represent cunning, deceit, and destruction. Unlike stronger animals like lions, they are viewed as sly creatures that operate in darkness or ruins to cause subtle but significant damage and harm. So the little foxes in Song of Solomon 2:15 represent these small, overlooked sins and bad habits or attitudes that ruin the vineyard of a Christian's walk with the Lord and witness and testimony to a lost and dying world. The little foxes desire to spoil the fruit of the Spirit in a Christian, which are found in the book of Galatians. Turn with me there, Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to pick it up at verse 22. It's a familiar passage. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That is what Christians should be reflecting to a lost and dying world. When the world looks at you, this is what they should see. They should see the fruit of your walk, the fruit of your talk. Everything should mesh. Everything should match. Everything should be in step. Your outward appearance, your walk, your talk. They're watching you. And if they're not seeing this, then you need to check yourself. You need to, as Paul wrote, examine yourself. But the little foxes that spoil the vineyard in a Christian's life, the devil will try to replace it with the corrupt fruits or works of the flesh, which are also found in Galatians chapter 5. Pick it up at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. None of what I just read should be in a Christian's life. You should not have any of those. You should be instead the fruits of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul wrote to his churches several times, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Crucify the flesh. Die daily. That flesh should be dying daily. And for some of us, it should be dying every second. But die daily. Christians should be a reflection of Jesus Christ. If you're not, again, examine yourself. Examine yourself. The other thing the little foxes will try to replace is our love for the Savior with a love for the world, which the Bible clearly states that Christians are to love not the world, as stated in 1 John chapter 2. Turn with me there, please. 1 John chapter 2. Another familiar passage. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with having a good life. As long as you remember who gave you your life, who died for you, who provides for you daily, who provides you the nice things. If the things become the focus, not the person who gave it to you. Men, working on the job site. The talent you have to do your job was given to you by God. Your job was given to you by God. Your health and well-being of spirit, mind, and body was given to you by God. The possessions you have was given to you by God. Your family was given to you by God. Everything you have in your life was given to you by your Savior. He gave those things to you. Put those in perspective. Be thankful for the one who gave them to you, not the things. Things are going to pass away. Things are going to pass away. And besides that, you know, a million years from now, is it really going to matter that you had a brand new truck or brand new car? Or, no. You know what's going to really matter a million years from now? You're going to be at home with the Savior. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to matter. Until then, exemplify the fruits of the Spirit to a lost and dying world. The world should look at you and go, there's something peculiar about that person. They're not over here doing this and that and the other while we're doing. They're over here. Their language is different. Their attitudes are different. I work with some folks who claim to be Christians. But I'm here to tell you right now, if they were hauled up in front of a court and asked to produce evidence that they were Christians, they probably wouldn't find anything because they do not exemplify the fruits of the Spirit. They're just like the lost. I'm not judging them. It's just what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. You can't make somebody do right. They have to do right willingly. And again, not the fruits of the flesh, not the works of the flesh, the fruits of the Spirit. That's what the world needs to see. Because if the world sees hypocrisy, I mean, you could stand there and quote Bible all day long, and then 5 minutes later, crack a dirty joke. And people will go, but I thought you were... And the first thing that pops in their mind is, hypocrite, just like a Christian. Just like on the televangelists, you know, just nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Never find yourself in that position. Do everything you can not to find yourself in that position. Never, never, ever fall. Watch what's in your vineyard. Watch the foxes. Knock them out If they try to steal fruit from you, knock them out. Keep diligence on your heart. When a Christian falls into the sin of pride and haughtiness, the pride of life and material things that pull a Christian away from serving the Lord, which leads to prayerlessness, neglect of the Bible, God's word, indifference in attending church worship services, it's at that point the Christian is quenching the Holy Spirit of God and also grieving the Holy Spirit of God, which we are commanded not to do. You are sealed under the day of redemption of the purchased possession, which is your soul. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came in and did a procedure that separated your soul from your flesh. You're fighting this. Your soul, which is sealed, which is the Lord's, is trapped in the flesh. You will not achieve a perfect being until you are home with the Lord. The flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh. Which one's going to win? It better be the Holy Spirit of God that's in you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we read, quench not the Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Therefore, we are to keep our heart, as the Bible commands us in Proverbs. Proverbs 4:23. Turn there, please. And the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart should be God's throne. Nothing else should be on the throne of your heart. If there is something else on the throne of your heart other than the Lord, examine yourself. Clean house. Examine yourself. Get rid of the idols on your heart. Remove them. There's the parable where the Lord says that the man was delivered from the demon and went in and everything was cleaned up and garnished and everything was perfect. The demon goes wandering around and then he comes back with seven more dirtier than he was, and the end of that man was worse than the beginning. When you clean your heart, guard your heart. Don't let anything else in your heart other than the Lord. Family, friends, possessions, your life. Nothing else on the throne of your heart but God. He should be your focus and he should be there emanating from you the fruits of the Spirit to a lost and dying world. Again, the world, when they look at you, they should see Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. We should be good ambassadors. Needless to say, there's a lot of poor ambassadors, which they have to stand before God for that. We daily should be working out our own salvation. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Each one of us is running our race. Each one of us is on our own track of our life. Each one of us has our own pace, our own track. My track is not Mike's track. My track is not your track, or Dale's track, or Mike Nemeth's track. We all have our own track, our own race to run. With that said, run your race. Finish the course. Run with patience. Continue moving forward. Press toward the mark. Watch what you're sowing in your vineyard. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's all about sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. There's things that I've done in my life. Bad. Reaping, yep. I've been reaping. And every one of us has done things that were not right. And we're sowing it and we're reaping it. Brethren, sow more to the Spirit. Resist the temptation to sow to the flesh. Sow to the Spirit. Witnessing, passing out gospel tracts, reading your Bible, praying, attending church, supporting the brethren, bearing one another's burdens. That's all part of it. Sow to the Spirit, not the flesh. And you got to watch where you're walking. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Galatians 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The greatest Christian in your Bible, the Apostle Paul, wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 7, the things that I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, I end up doing. And he sums it all up by saying, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death? In chapter 8, verse 1, there's no now condemnation. Jesus Christ will save you from the body of death. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Walk circumspectly. Here's a definition of that word, circumspectly. It's an adverb. It means acting in a careful, cautious, and prudent way, considering all possible circumstances and potential consequences before acting or speaking. To avoid risk or mistakes, it comes from the Latin roots meaning to look around and implies wisdom, watchfulness, and discretion, often used in contrast to acting rashly or foolishly, especially in spiritual or political contexts. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I'll confess, they say it's good for the soul. I waste time. Who everybody else? Who wastes time? Who wastes time? Come on, be honest. God's watching you. Who wastes time? If you're walking circumspectly and you redeem time, what are you doing with the time you're redeeming? You should be walking in the Spirit. You should be producing the fruits of the Spirit. You should be actively, actively an ambassador for your Lord Jesus Christ. Well, does that mean I can't have fun time and do fun things? No, you can do fun things. You can do fun things. But if you're out doing something fun, shouldn't you have some gospel tracts in your pocket? Because if you're having fun and you're about a group of people, and the Lord says, hey, that guy needs a track. Think. Observe. Watch. There are people in this world that are lost and dying and going to hell. And they're looking for answers. They're looking for something. The world will give them everything they want, and the world will give them religion. Well, I'm a spiritual person. They'll give them all that stuff. What they're looking for is in this book. What they're looking for is a gospel witness. Somebody to tell them. Brother Mike, gas station. There you are. Here comes Rocco. What if Rocco just drove by and I can get gas down the road there? Where would that man be right now? Walk circumspectly. Keep your spiritual eyes and ears open to what's going on around you. Live the crucified life. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Dying daily. Dying daily. If you're crucified with Christ, but you're alive, the flesh is dead. Your flesh should be dead to sin, but alive to Christ. Your spirit is what you feed through this book. You talk to your Savior. You're sensitive to His Holy Spirit. Daily, daily, in your life, walking, going to work, at the gas station, at the store. Be ready to give the answer if somebody says, hey, I saw the bumper sticker on the back of your car there. You Christian? Be ready. Be ready. Because like I said, there are people out there that are looking. They are looking for something. Give them the right thing. Because the world ain't going to give them the right thing. We are saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And by walking in the Spirit and bringing the flesh into submission, we can fulfill the will of God in our lives by remembering that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And I'll throw in verse 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest a man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You weren't saved to sit, you were saved to serve. Well, I don't have any talent. Can you pray? Well, I don't have any special abilities. Again, can you pray? The Lord isn't looking from the multi-talented prima donnas.
That's right.
What he's looking for is willing servants that will serve him, that will willingly lay down their lives and serve him. That's what he's looking for. Now, if you have talent, praise the Lord. Use it for his honor and glory. If you don't have talent like me, pray.
Amen.
Pray. I want to publicly tell you this church right now. I pray for each and every one of you. I pray for the ministries of this church. I pray for our preacher. I pray for the outreach programs. I pray for our missionaries. I pray for the evangelists that we support. I even pray for people that I've never met that are in teaching ministries and Bible institutes and Bible colleges that are preparing full-time servants that are going in the field. It's not much. But then again, I hope it's enough. I hope it's enough for him. I really do. We are pressed toward the mark. Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, pick it up to verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's the Apostle Paul. Don't be a castaway. Do not give the world an excuse to not receive Christ by your example. Instead, walk in the Spirit. Keep your body in subjection. Keep the Lord on the throne of your heart. Love one another, church. Pray one for another. There's going to come a time. There will come a time in this country where we will not be able to meet like this. Oh, that can't happen. This is America. There's coming a time when we will not be able to meet freely like this. And we will have to meet in secret. Oh, you mean like China? Yeah, like China. You know, if anybody's been watching the news and what's been going on, you know, I'm not saying focus on that, but perilous times.
Amen.
And my prayer for this church, is that we would be unified in plan, in purpose, and put the unity in practice. Striving and pressing towards the mark as a church body and as individuals to please our Savior, to please our Lord and God, and to do that which is right in His eyes, and to have the fruits of the Spirit, and to also make sure that the little foxes don't spoil the vineyard. Brother Mike.